But NFL camps are kind of opening up, and people are getting back into the swing of things, and a bunch of guys have decided to pull the shoot. And there's a coach that tested positive over the weekend, Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So now he's in quarantine. There's a lot going on in the sports world. And you can see him and watch him on FS1. Longtime NFLer. Here is Marcellus Wiley back on Overdrive. How you doing, Marcellus?
Doing great, man. Better than the Maple Leafs at the game one.
Yeah. Come on, now. Come on, man. That's very valid.
Our Raptors are pulling their weight, though. Don't you worry about that, man. We did you guys a favor as Clipper fans, laying a beating on the Lakers on Saturday night. And the Lakers are a weird team to figure out, man. Like, if LeBron and Davis perform and play at their capabilities, they can beat anybody in the NBA. But if they don't, and we saw it on Saturday night, man, they got some flaws, that other L.A. team in your hometown.
Yeah, they have flaws, and more importantly, they don't have wiggle room. That's why I think they're going to fall short of a championship run because, yeah, AD is amazing and LeBron is amazing, but in terms of what's their number three, not so amazing. Remember last year, you go back to your Raptors, who was the number three? Probably Siakam or Kyle
Lowry.
Lowry,
one or the other, yeah.
Yeah, and Lowry, I mean, this is an all-star. You're talking about a number three. You look at the Lakers, their number three is Kyle Kuzma, who has a ton of potential but is inconsistent. You go back to the dynasty of the Miami Heat, you're bringing a Chris Bosh from Toronto to be your number three. So a lot of times, and Colin Cowherd speaks a lot about this, we got to look at the number threes on these NBA teams if we're really going to talk about how good or great they can be. And if you look at the Clippers, their number three is what? Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. These are beasts. These are guys. These are real men out there. So I think the Lakers' lack of depth in terms of high firepower is going to come back to haunt them. That's why they didn't have bounce back. They play well against the Clippers. They exhaust all their energy. Next game, they get blown out by you guys. I don't think they have that consistent depth that they need.
Well, we were talking about LeBron's postgame comments after the game, and he's become, you know, very diplomatic as he's grown in the game and in his position. He's well aware of who he is and the magnitude of his words, and he went out of his way to pump the tires of the Raptors, which he doesn't have to do, but he pumped the tires of Nick Nurse, and, you know, he runs off two or three names. He even mentions a guy like OG Anunoby, who I don't think the average NBA fan would know anything about. And LeBron only plays him twice, so doesn't have to. And maybe there's some patronizing there. I don't think LeBron's actually scared of OG Anunoby. But as an athlete, as a pro, you know, when you hear a guy like that, of that status, you know, talk up your team, does that mean anything to you? You know, if the equivalent happened to you in the NFL when you were in Buffalo, you know, Troy Aikman or whoever it is, you know, pumping your tires, John Elway or something like that, would that matter to you at all?
It would. It's a healthy respect. You got to respect just at the basic level that it's a fraternity. And in that fraternity of professional sports, everyone's a black belt. It's just what degree black belt are you? You know, you look at LeBron, a 99-degree black belt.
All right, we got to throw him on hold there, Kenny. Throw him on
Kenny
hold,
Rogers.
Kenny
Rogers.
See if we can get him back out. But, yeah, that was going wonky, man. We've had some pretty good reception, too, with Mullen on the board.
Yeah.
And Ken gets stuck with a bad reception out of L.A. from our boy Marcellus. We'll see if we can get him back on.
Kenny Rogers is like on Kenny's watch. Watch.
He's got it taken care of. I'm not concerned. He'll be fine. He'll get him back on. We'll see if we can reconnect.
I'm concerned because Mullen probably has these, like, you know, little things that he does to make the board work. You know how you, like, the board is probably like his baby. You got to hit it here. You got to do this. You got to do that. And, you know, old Kenny's got his feet up on the desk and probably just looking to press a button here or there.
No disrespect to Kenny Rogers, but we got to have a Zoom call with Mullen, Keith, and not Kenny tonight.
Just to talk behind his back.
No, we'll just have
to just blame him for cell reception. I think we got Marcellus back.
Okay.
Are you good with us, Marcellus? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you, buddy. You were talking about, you know, great players talking your team up.
You're talking about the Maple Leafs. The phone guys hate you, brother. I'm sorry up there. But, yeah, talking about great players, man, I think it's a healthy respect at the most basic level. And you do respect it. You do like it because in that fraternity of professional sports, you just got to respect that we're all black belts. No matter how good or bad you are, it's just different degrees of black belts. So the sorriest guy on the practice squad who never gets off the bench is still a black belt, because he's one in a million in terms of a collegiate athlete that transitioned to the pro level. And then if you're able to make a mark at the pro level, damn, you should get some love and respect, especially from the great ones, just for your effort and whatever level of achievement and production you have. So when I hear that from LeBron, I think it's a healthy place versus a Michael Jordan who did it differently. As we saw in that documentary, Michael Jordan rather squish all of his competition, talk about how no one else was as great as, and then that's supposed to be how you prop up his greatness. Look what he did. He diminished everyone. And I think LeBron learned from Jordan not to do it that way. Actually pump up everyone, inflate everyone, make everyone look good or great, better than they are. And then you stood taller than all of them. So to me, it's a healthier, smarter approach if you're LeBron. Pump up the world and then say you're better and bigger than the world.
Marcellus, throughout this whole process, when all the pauses started worldwide and everything, I think coaches probably spent a lot of time communicating with their players. You know, are you taking care of yourself? Are you social distancing? Are you wearing a mask? Blah, blah, blah. How bizarre is it that Doug Peterson, the coach of the Eagles, gets COVID? Like, the players must be thinking, you've been telling us this, that, and the other for the last 3 months, and you end up with COVID. It's not a laughing matter, but how bizarre is that?
Yeah, it is. It's ironic, obviously. The authority figure, the person that's probably preaching the message, actually is the one that is the one who's contracted it now. But as we all know, there's no perfect situation. There's no way to fully protect yourself from this virus. Everyone is just trying to get in the 99th percentile, but there's no 100th percentile. There's no full protection from this. Think about it. It could be just you order delivery and, yeah, I wiped it down and I didn't touch it and all that, but it's still, you're exposing yourself just at the smallest of levels. People who are still essential workers or who have to work, or anything you do outside of staying in a protected plastic bubble like it's E.T. the movie. If it's not in that existence, we all have compromised ourselves in some form or some fashion. You try not to be repetitive with it. So kind of unfortunate it happens from the coach, but also eye-opening that no matter how protected you are in these situations, that we're all compromised, we're all vulnerable. And it's going to be really interesting when a sport like the NFL football opens up, and the just the dynamics of the game. There are 90 guys on the roster, 32 different teams. The goal is to run into each other, spit, you know, twist, and lay on each other in piles and huddles. And it's just the contagious factor and the contagions that are going to be flying left and right in the NFL atmosphere. We thought baseball has been compromised. Wait till we see this NFL experiment go down. There's no NBA bubble to protect baseball or football. Football, just by the pure nature of the sport, man, I think it's going to be pretty brutal once this gets started.
With longtime NFLer Marcellus Wiley, in terms of, you know, social justice, we've seen it, statements being made, gestures being made, you know, in every sport around the world, really. And the NBA, I think, has been at the forefront of it. What are you expecting from the NFL when they come together and they get out there and start playing in September, you know, besides maybe collectively kneeling for the anthem, which I expect to happen? I don't know if it's going to happen every week for 17 weeks, but what kind of expectations do you have for the NFL and the players and how the owners and Goodell are going to handle it, or how much they're going to allow? This is a league that generally doesn't allow a lot when it comes to individuality and expressing yourself during the game itself.
Yeah, I think it's going to kind of be more of the same. You know, there are exceptions. If you look at hockey, obviously they're on one end of the spectrum in terms of how much public display and demonstration they're participating in and allowing, versus the NBA seems like on the other end of the spectrum, where every pregame, every commercial, you're watching a court that says Black Lives Matter, like they're on that end in terms of really demonstrating their support. But I just want to make sure everyone knows that since you're not doing all of these public displays, doesn't mean that you're not supporting. And I think the support, the greatest support you can have for any cause is having great character and being a representative of equality, a representative of good nature, rather than always just putting on a T-shirt or kneeling or doing the anthem. Like, all those things, I think, are the easiest ways to check a box to show people you're supporting. But as we know in life, your character is really about the things that you do when no one else is watching. Just imagine you walk into a locker room and it's, and next to your wristbands is a shirt that says Black Lives Matter or We Support All. I don't want to say meaningless, but it certainly doesn't map on the reality. Putting on a team-issued shirt and standing around while the camera's on you, that's the easy work. That's the light work. The real work is checking the box in your day-to-day life and with your family, your loved ones, your community, and doing things outside the ordinary that really show that you're in support of something. So I think there's just going to be more of the same in terms of the demonstrations and displays. And they said they're going to play the Black National Anthem, things like that, which, you know, if it toots your horn, if it makes you feel good, I hope it has some kind of motivating factor behind it that really changes the reality. That's what I'm focused on, is the reality, not so much the display to show the support, which it seems like we're in right now.
Yeah, well put. Always appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon, probably next week. Thank you, Marcellus.
All right, hopefully the Maple Leafs still at it. Let's see.
I hope so, too. Knock on wood.
Come on, man.
Knock on wood. Thank you, buddy. There's Marcellus Wiley. Yeah, I think... you know, Matt Dumba in his speech the other night was a powerful speech. I think that took, you know, some stones to get out there. That wasn't even his game, right? Like, clearly. He was in the bubble, though, and he got out there and he spoke, and I think he spoke well, and he sent a strong message. And yesterday during the anthem, he held his fist up for both anthems, which is his right. I have not heard from anyone within the game that has suggested the NHL has told anyone what they can or can't do during the anthem. I might be wrong on that, but, you know, it is more about, we're going to know more about how this league and how sports is actually trying to change over time. You know, we're not going to just know because, you know, the whole team was kneeling during the anthem, you know, like that is a gesture, and it is an important one to keep a message alive that has really come on over the last couple of months. And it's an important one that we would all get behind. And I hope it leads to tangible change and a better place and a better sports world, because this is the world that we live in and we deal with. But, you know, what happens during the anthem before the game isn't going to change the reality, like Marcellus said, right? It's going to come down to how we treat each other, the tangible efforts behind the scenes, the day-to-day stuff. And, you know, it's a start, what has, I think, happened over the last couple of months, but we're really not going to be able to know exactly what changed and whether or not we finally crossed the right T's and dotted the right I's for another couple of years, maybe.
That's the key. It's a start. It's got to continue. It's like everything else, where it's a build-up, there's an incident, something happens, and it's a big top of conversation. And unfortunately, then it just disappears to the wayside, and that just can't happen. And I don't think it'll happen in all walks of life, all sports this time around.
I hope not.
I think Marcellus nailed it. Like it's nice to have what he was getting at, the symbols and the gestures, but it has to be integrated in everything. Not just, you know, hey, when the camera's rolling, hey, you know, everyone put this T-shirt on. Or when the camera's rolling, this and that. It's how you conduct and really run your own lives. And you know, for us, we've got kids. You know, it's education, it's teaching. For us, it's learning as well. And, you know, to me, it's the long game. I guess that's what I would.
Right.
It's the long game.
Yeah.
Of learning and getting equality out there, not just you know, in short spurts here, and then you move on to the next cause.
Exactly. And playing a part in it by actually, you know, changing or doing things differently. And specifically, we're talking, you know, corporations and you know, the different systems in which we incorporate ourselves into. But, you know, as for the anthem and where the NFL is going, I don't know how long the NBA is going to continue to do what they're doing, because they've had a rule in their CBA for a long time that players had to stand. And they've obviously, clearly, they've allowed that to change now. I don't know if it will revert back to the way it was starting next year when they're back into their own stadiums. I don't know. I don't know. Will there be pushback on that? But, you know, it's also every player still, it's your individual right to make a decision on what you want to do. But hopefully the actual cause is what is at the forefront, as opposed to everyone, you know, or anyone getting too preoccupied with, oh, well, what's happening during this anthem? You know, during the anthem is, that's just, we're playing it, then the game starts and we move on. The real stuff is going to happen away from the rink or behind closed doors.
Yeah, I agree.
And, again, we're not going to know for a while, but hopefully it's moving in the right direction.
Speaking
Bob McKenzie,
of anthem,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Brian. Speaking of anthems, I thought it's a great touch by the National Hockey League to have the respective anthem singers singing. The Leaf singer, she's so good.
Yeah, she's, I guess, up in Woodbridge or whatever.
Yeah,
and like, yeah, she
yeah,
was
great.
She belting out the Canadian and the American anthem.
I think the league has done such a good job of trying to, you know, capture every, you know, every team's, you know, their song, their goal song. You know, you see the boards, there's advertisements on there, like there's fans watching. Like I think the NHL's done a really good job. And just,
it's the gold standard. I think they announced the test today, how many thousand
7,000, yeah.
That's the gold standard for doing this, I think, is everyone needs to be commended for the job they've done in the National Hockey
League. Knock on wood,
No question about it.
Let's just keep plugging along. NHL, NBA, the bubbles are working, man.
Yeah.
Bubbles are working. There's a reason baseball's falling apart. There's a lot of concern about football right around the corner.